بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين احسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت ايمانكم. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. This chapter is about the rights of neighbors. And when we look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can very clearly see that neighbors are one of those people who have the greatest right on earth according to the Sharia of Islam. And if we really look into the sequence of rights, we will find that parents, relatives, and after relatives, the greatest right any person has on us are neighbors. To the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. That Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, he continued insisting on the rights of neighbors and mentioning the great rights of neighbors to the extent that I thought that at the end Jibreel alayhi salam might say that neighbor will get part of the inheritance also. Which simply means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I thought he will make the neighbor just like the relative and will make him like a close relative who get the inheritance. Some of our relatives, like uncles, aunts, they don't even get the inheritance when they are close relatives. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam insisted so much on the rights of neighbors, and he was mentioning such great rights of neighbors, that I thought that Jibreel alayhi salam might come, and at any time he might say that neighbor will even get part of your inheritance. When you die, he will get some of your wealth also. But of course, he did not say that. But this is how great right neighbors have on us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. Your neighbors who are related to you, your neighbors who are not related to you, they all have rights on you. And وَالْجَارِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. Even a person who sits with you for a few minutes, for a couple of moments, that person also considered your neighbor for that gathering and for that sitting, and he has rights on you also. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that even your neighbor, even the person who sits with you for some time, that will be considered your neighbor for that gathering, for that sitting, a person sitting with you in the aeroplane, a person sitting beside you in the train, someone sitting you in the waiting room, for a small time, for a short time, a person sitting beside you, that person is considered your neighbor for that sitting, and accordingly he gets some rights on you, he has some rights on you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يُؤْذِ جَارَهُ. Very strong hadith. Another said, rights of neighbor are really great, and neighbors have one of the people who have the greatest rights on us, and their hadith about neighbors are so strong. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ, should not hurt his neighbors. See how strong the hadith is. That attaches, the hadith attaches the right of neighbor with our iman. That if you believe in Allah, you believe in the Day of Judgment, you are a mu'min, then you are not supposed to hurt your neighbor. فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ, that person should not hurt his neighbor. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Whoever again, very strong hadith, another hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ, should honor and respect his neighbor. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ جَارِهِ. Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment should be very nice to his neighbor. Look how strong these hadiths are. That if you believe in Allah, if you believe in the Day of Judgment, if you are a believer, then this should be your behavior, that you should be nice to your neighbor, you should respect your neighbor, and you should never hurt your neighbor. This is why once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min. He said it three times, that I swear by God that person is not a mu'min. He repeated the same thing again, that I swear by God that person is not a mu'min. Then he repeated for the third time, that I swear by God, that person is not a mu'min. One of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in said, Man ya Rasulullah? Ya Rasulullah? Who's that very unfortunate person? There has to be a very unfortunate person about whom a Prophet of Allah swears by God three times, he takes oath that that person is not a mu'min and he cannot be a believer, he cannot be my follower. So that Sahabi asked, Man ya Rasulullah? Who is that person ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alladhi la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. The person whose neighbor is not saved from his hardships. The person who hurt his neighbors. The person who hurt the feelings of his neighbors. Who harms his neighbors. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I swear by God, that person cannot be a mu'min. Look how strong the hadith is. How strong is this hadith? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only he's saying it, he takes oath. Imagine, if a Prophet of Allah will take oath about something and say, I swear by God, wallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows the greatness of Allah. He will never use the name of Allah where it is not supposed to be used. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after taking this oath three times, and the oath is about that this person cannot be a mu'min. This person is not a believer. Who ya Rasulullah? And he said, who hurts his neighbor. Whose neighbors are not saved from his hardships. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. A person whose neighbors, a person who hurts his neighbors, the person who gives hard time to his neighbors, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة, that person will not enter the Jannah. Imagine. And this is what I said in the beginning. Ahadith about the rights of neighbors are very strong, extremely strong. And we don't find such a strong ahadith about any other person, about the rights of anyone else except for parents and relatives. But especially when we look at these ahadiths, they're extremely strong ahadiths, and up to now, all the ahadiths that I have narrated are from Bukhari and Muslim. They're very authentic ahadiths, and they're very strong ahadiths. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are different type of neighbors, and accordingly they have different rights on you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explaining that in detail, he said, there is a neighbor who has three rights on you. There is a neighbor who has two rights on you. And there is another neighbor who has only one right on you. Explaining these rights, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a neighbor who is related to you, and he is a mu'min, he has three rights on you. Number one, for being a neighbor. Number two, for being mu'min. And number three, for being your relative. So there are three relationships there. Iman, relationship, and number three is being neighbor. There is another neighbor who has two rights on you, and that's your mu'min neighbor who is not related to you. And we might use it the other way or leave it that way. Leave the hadith as it is. The third neighbor is the neighbor who is not related to you, and he is not a mu'min, but at least he is your neighbor. So all of these ahadiths that we just talked about, they are generally about neighbors. They are not about Muslim neighbors, and they are not about neighbors who are related to us. They are just about neighbors. So all these rights that we have just talked about, they are about the rights of neighbors in general. Whether that neighbor is related to you or not, and whether that neighbor is a Muslim or not. And on top of that, if that neighbor is related to you, of course he has a greater right on you. And if that neighbor is Muslim, then of course he has a great right on you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu, in Al-Mustadrak ala Sahihain by Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, ما من مسلم يموت فيشهد له أربعة من أهل أبيات جيرانه الأدنيين أنهم لا يعلمون منه إلا خيرا إلا قال الله تبارك وتعالى قد قبلت قولكم أو قال شهادتكم وغفرت له ما لا تعلمون. Look at this beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person dies and his four neighbors out of the closest homes, four closest neighbors to this person, which means those homes that are closest to us, four of those people who are closest neighbors to us, they witness that this person was a nice man. He was a nice person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they talk good about this person and they witness for him being a nice person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ قَبِلْتُ قَوْلَكُمْ. Okay, I accept your witness. And because of your witness, I forgive even those sins that you are not aware of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know he have done a lot of wrong things also. But since you people are witnessing good about this person, and you're saying that all we know is good about this person, then I forgive everything else that you don't know about and you are not aware about, and I take him, I grant him the Jannah. But this will happen only if we please those people. And we treat them nice. And especially in this part of the world where we live now, where especially our neighbors are non-Muslims, our treatment to these neighbors should be even better. Because when these people look at us, they don't just look at us as another human being. They don't look at us as Muslims only. They look at us as they are looking at Islam, not as Muslims only. They look at us and they judge Islam according to what we do, according to how we treat them. So if we do something wrong, these people are not just going to just say that my neighbor is bad. They will say Islam is bad. They will say Muslims are bad. And they will start judging Islam and all the Muslims according to how we treat these people. So because of us, they will be looking down at Islam. We will be responsible about it on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about it on the Day of Judgment. Why did you put my Islam down? Why did you put my deen down? Just because of your behaviors and because of your personal things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was sitting in a group of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, a man came and he complained about his neighbor. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my neighbor always gives me a hard time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, after all, he's your neighbor. So have patience. He went back. After some time, this person came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made the same complaint, Ya Rasulullah, my neighbor, he hurts me a lot. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, he advised this person to be nice to his neighbor and not to say anything about the neighbor and just let it go, just forgive him. The third or the fourth time when this man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the same complaint, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this person, go back to your home, take all of your stuff out and put it out on the street. Take your stuff out and put it out on the street. And if anyone asks you why your stuff is out on the street, tell them because my neighbor hurts me and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to put my stuff out. So that person went there and he put all of his baggage out, he took his stuff out and he sat out there. So everyone passing by asked this person, why all of your baggage is out? Why your stuff is out? He says, because this person hurts me and he always try to hurt my feelings, and I complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me to put my stuff out. So hearing this, everyone started cursing at this person. Oh, what a bad neighbor he is. You know, he hurts his neighbor even after complaining to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't want to listen. So everyone started cursing at that neighbor. So that person went to his neighbor. That person who used to hurt his neighbor, he went back to this person now and he says, please put your staff back, I will never hurt you again. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a good way to stop that person from hurting his neighbor. When he knew that all the people now are cursing at him, and now even the Prophet of Allah knows and he has the other person had a certificate from the Prophet of Allah that means my neighbor hurts me and I was having patience and I was taking it for a long time. Now all of my stuff out and it's because this person hurts me all the time. There is a Sahabi, Mutarraf bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He says, once someone told me that Abu Zar radiallahu anhu knows a very special hadith about the right of neighbors. So he said, I was looking for Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, and finally when I found him, I said to Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, that I heard that you know a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would like to hear it from you. He said, what hadith is that? He said, there is a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves three type of people and He hates three type of people. So I said, yes, I heard a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves three type of people. Number one, رَجُلٌ غَزَى فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا مُجَاهِدًا فَلَقِيَ الْعَدُوِ فَقَاتَلَ حَتَّى قُتِلْ. A person who went in the battlefield, fighting against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he saw the large number of enemies, yet he continued fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not turn his back. And he did not try to run away from the battlefield. And he continued struggling and fighting in the battlefield till he was murdered in the battlefield. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. The second man, رَجُلٌ لَهُ جَارُ سُوءٍ يَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ إِذَائِهِ. A person who has one of his neighbors who always hurts him, but this person always takes it and he does not try to take revenge from his neighbor. لَهُ جَارُ سُوءٍ يَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ إِذَائِهِ حَتَّى يَكْفِيهُ اللَّهُ إِمَّا بِحَيَاتٍ أَوْ مَوْتٍ. This person never tries to take revenge and he never hurts his neighbor until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will take care of his neighbor. Either by taking his life or doing something else to that neighbor. But this person himself does not try to take revenge from his neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this man who does not try to ruin from his neighbor. And third person is رَجُلٌ يُسَافِرُ مَعَ قَوْمٍ. A person who was traveling with some people. فَأَدْلَجُ. It was in the night time and it was dark. So they decided at the last part of the night that we are very tired and we are sleeping. We cannot continue with this journey anymore. So فَضَرَبُوا رُؤُسَهُمْ. They all went down. They found a place to sleep and they laid down. This person, when he saw all of his friends, they went to sleep. قَامَ فَتَطَهَّرُ. He gets up, makes his wudu and starts praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Starts making salah and dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person because he was also tired and he was also sleepy, but he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes him get up and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this man and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these three people. Who are the three people? Again, very quickly. One is the person who fights in the battlefield until he sacrifices his life. The second is the person whose neighbor hurts him, but he does not take revenge from his neighbor. And the third is the person who was traveling with some friends, and at the last portion of the night, when they went to sleep, everyone went to sleep, but this person got up and he started performing salah and making dua. And as far as the three people who are headed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah hid three types of people. May Allah protect us from being any of those people. Very bad. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like a person and he hates a person. Number one, a person. Al-Mukhtal al-Fakhur. A person who's very arrogant. And he's very proud of himself all the time. He feels that I'm something. And he considers himself better than others. And this reminds me of a hadith that I should narrate at this point. For us to remember that many times we feel that we are not arrogant. And remember, arrogance is something that a person who's arrogant will never feel that I'm arrogant. This is something with this sin, with this disease. It's one of the worst diseases. There is a book written by one of our scholars and one of my teachers called Ummul Amrad. He chose a real right name, perfect name, and a name that really suits only this disease. He named the book, the book is about arrogance, and he named the book Ummul Amrad, the mother of all the disease. And really, which in other words, you can call it the root of all the other diseases. This is the root of all the other diseases. Imagine, Iblis, Shaitan, he had this disease. He was doing a lot of ibadah, but he was arrogant. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do sajda for Adam alayhi salam, he said, Ana khayrun min, I'm better than him. This is why I'm not going to do sajda for him. Imagine. That arrogance, so much arrogance, that person does not even realize who he's talking to. He's talking to Allah. And he wants to argue with Allah. Imagine. Does not even make him understand that you are arrogant. And you feel that you are great. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are mentioning your greatness to Allah. Don't you know who you are talking to? But no. He feels, no, I'm not arrogant. I'm saying, what is fact? This is how shaitan plays with us. That you are only saying the truth. You are not arrogant. You are only saying the truth. But this is how shaitan misleads us. He makes us feel, no, you are right. You are saying the truth. Imagine. Just think who you are talking to. And why you feel you are better. So arrogance is a sin, and I don't want to go into the detail of it. This is not our subject for today. But this is a sin and this is a disease that a person who has it never feels that I have this disease. Have you ever seen an insane person who doesn't have a brain? You always see him laughing. And he always talks to himself. Have you seen a person? Have you anyone of you experienced that type of person? Yes? No? Some of you might have. And I did. See a person who's insane and tell him that you're mad, you're insane. He'll tell you, no, you are. He will never admit that he's insane. He doesn't know it. So if you tell him that you're insane, you're mad, you're stupid. No, I'm not, you are. And he's laughing all day, he talks to himself all day, but the time you tell him that you're insane, he says, no, I'm not, you are. And he feels about everyone else, the people who are right, he feels about all of those people that these people are insane, these people are mad. Why they don't laugh all like me all the day? They should be laughing just like I do. They should keep on laughing the whole day like just I do. All of these people are insane. And this reminds me, might be just a joke. One of the prime ministers went to visit one of the hospitals that was specially for these people. So when he went over there, So all these people came at the window, you know, and they started laughing at him. So one of them asked this prime minister, he asked him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I'm the prime minister of the country." He was the prime minister. He said, "I'm the prime minister of the country." So that insane man from inside the window, he says, "Yeah, this is what I used to say also before coming in here. I always used to say about myself, I'm prime minister, so they put me in the hospital." So, insane person never knows that, he never understands that he's insane. Same thing, an arrogant person, he's just like that man. He never knows, he can never find out that he is arrogant until he trusts someone. And he puts his trust on someone, that person will tell him that you have arrogance, he will say, "Okay, I accept that I'm arrogant if you're telling me. So now tell me how to treat it." But if this person does not choose any teacher of that kind, and any person that he will choose as his elder, as a person who has a respect for, so no one in the world will be able to explain to this person that you're arrogant. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. One of them, al-mukhtar al-faqur. A person who's arrogant and he's always proud of himself. He considers himself better than others. Number two, al-bakhil al-mannan. A person who's very poor, but he considers himself better than all the other people and he feels that he is favoring everyone else. A person is very poor and people give him money. After using their donations and their wealth, then he keeps on talking against them and he keeps on trying to mention that he has done favors to these people. And unfortunately, it looks like, who would do this? That you collect donations from people, you use people's money, and they give you charities, they give you zakat, they give you their sadaqat, you take their fitrah, and at the end you will talk against the same people. SubhanAllah, it looks like it will never happen, and can no person, no human being who have little sense will do this, but I see it a lot. We see it a lot. You see, during the month of Ramadan, people come and collect zakat and all of this in the masjid. And the very same person, a few days later, you will see the very same person talking about all these people in the masjid. "Oh, these people, they are wealthy people, they feel that they are this, they are this, they are this." And you will see him talking against the very same person who he was begging a few days earlier. And number three, the third person, at-tajir al-hallaf. أو البائع الحلاف. A businessman who always takes off. "Oh, this is the best product. This is the best thing. You can't buy something better than this." And he keeps on taking off to sell merchandise. Uses the name of Allah to sell his merchandise to make money. These are the three people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, and he does not like these people. So basically, I narrated this whole hadith for that person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. One of those people is the one who, one of his neighbors tries to hurt him all the time, and this person has patience and does not take revenge from his neighbor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until Allah himself will take care of that neighbor, either by taking his life or doing something else to that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this neighbor who always have patience and practice patience, and he does not try to take revenge from his neighbors. So these are the ahadith, some of the ahadith that tells us about the rights of neighbors and how much really we should take care of our neighbors. In one of the ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now mentioning that since now we know we need to be nice with them, how nice we should be to our neighbors. How should we treat them? Of course, we have sense. And we know by looking at these ahadith that we cannot, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took oath three times that you cannot be a mu'min if you hurt your neighbor. So we know that we are not supposed to hurt them. We are supposed to treat them nice. So what are some of the ways that we can learn how to treat our neighbor's knives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Zar radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith, and the hadith is in Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Abu Zar, إِذَا طَبَخْتَ مَرَخَةً فَأَكْبِرْ مَاءَهَا وَتَعَاهَدْ جِرَانَكَ. Abu Zar, whenever you prepare food at home, make sure you give some of that to your neighbors. And if you feel that you don't have enough, you have prepared some meat, and you don't have enough, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, put some extra water at the time of preparing the meal. Put some extra water so you will have more food, and then you can send some to your neighbors. In another hadith, Rasulullah, and of course, don't think that this is fard and wajib, that everything we get, we have to send it to our neighbors. But in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you prepare a meal, and the smell of it goes to your next door neighbor, then you should send some of it to your neighbors, because they have smelled it now. They might feel like eating it. So you send some of it to them also. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have some food, like you got some fruits, something nice at your home, then you should send some of that to your neighbors. And if you don't send it to your neighbors, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then don't allow your children to eat it while they walk out of the home. Because if they keep on eating it outside of the home, neighbors' children might see your children eating it, and they can't afford to buy this food, or they cannot find it in the market. So you go out with that fruit, you're eating some mangoes and walking out. Or sitting on your porch and eating some nice fruit. All the neighbors are watching. Now they feel like eating it too, but they don't have it. So if you don't want to give it out, you don't want to give it to them, then don't eat it outside of your home. Just eat it inside the home so no one will know that what you're eating. And if you take it out, then share it. And now I come for a minute especially to you people here. You get nice food from your home. Students get food from home. And then there are some other students, colleagues and friends who see that food. MashaAllah, nice chicken. Nice biryani. And you warm it up, then you put your head down and keep on eating it. You don't even want to see no one around you. Because if you look around, you'll have to feed your friend and you have to give it to some of your friends. You have to share it. And you don't want to share it. So you keep your head down and keep on eating. It's not a good habit. And you won't believe this, or it will be very surprising thing for you to know how atmosphere changes things. I remember when we were in Medina Munawwara, and of course that's the place where I was born and raised, and my life was spent there. When we were there, I don't remember a single time that we would be outside of the home and eating something that we cannot share with others. It was considered one of the worst behaviors, one of the very bad manners, that you outside of your home, you eat something. That was the atmosphere there. That was the culture there, from the Islam. And this is, I'm not talking 1400 years back, I'm talking only some years back, about 15 years back. I never remember that going out of the home with an apple in my hand and biting the apple. We used to consider it a very bad habit. Here we come, every person people go to the office, they take their lunch, they have an apple with them, the person will open his bag, he takes his apple, he's eating and talking to another person, and then will dare you say, here, would you like to take half of it? Very amazing situation. We don't have the Islamic understanding of these manners. A person is looking at us and you are eating and you are talking to that person too. And you never offer that person. We have some books written by a man whose name is Muhammad Asad. You know this man Muhammad Asad? You read his biography. This man was a Jew. Yahud. He was a Jew. And he explains how he became Muslim. What do you think was the reason that he became Muslim? He read the Quran. He wrote a translation of a Quran also. Then he wrote some other books. But he made the translation of the whole Quran after becoming Muslim. But why do you think he became a Muslim? Because of reading the Quran? Or he read some beautiful ahadith? No. He himself explains. He said, the thing that impressed me in Islam and that made me really think of becoming Muslim was, he said, I like traveling a lot. And he used to travel around the world. He went to Saudi Arabia. He wasn't in Makkah and Medina, he was in some other towns away from there. He was in a bus or a train, I don't remember exactly at this time. And there was a Bedouin sitting beside him. That man, very simple man, he said, there is a Bedouin. Very simple man, you know how these Bedouins are. Simple people. Was sitting beside him. He said, that man, it was lunchtime, so that man opened a bag. And he took one bread out of his bed. He had only one bread for his lunch. He took that bread out and he brought that bread into two pieces, made two pieces of that bread, and he gave me half of it and he ate half of it. He said, I started thinking, why this man is offering me half of the bread? He has only one. And he sees me that I'm not a poor man. Just because of sitting beside him, he did not feel like eating it himself, so he gave half of it to me. This is the thing that made him think that Islam teaches something good. And there are some good teachings in Islam, special teachings in Islam that are not there in other religions. But we lost all of this. We have given all of this away. We know the hadith. We know in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's neighbor, a woman, old lady. She hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was a kafir, disbeliever. Every day, every night, after she would see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going home, she would take all the trash and thorns and garbage. She would collect all of that and will dump it at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's door. This is what she used to do every night. That she would gather all the trash and dump it at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's door. And every day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wakes up in the morning. This was the first thing he had to do. Clean all the trash from the front of his door. Imagine how upset he might be, but no. He knew that this is my neighbor who's doing it. And as a right of neighbor, he said, I should just take it. Let her do whatever she wants to do. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got up in the morning and he walked out of the home and he knew that I will have to clean the trash, but that day there was no trash in front of his door. And he knows who is this person who's throwing the trash in front of his door. So he went at that old lady's home and he knocked at her door. And asked her, are you feeling good today? Are you okay? She said, yes. Why would you come and ask me? She doesn't like him. I don't want you at my door. He said, no. I'm not here to hurt you. And I don't mean to hurt you and to disturb you. The only reason I came here, because I did not see the trash in front of my door. So I thought you might be sick and might be able to help you with something. I might be able to do something for you. And because since I didn't see the trash, I thought you might be sick or something is wrong. that impressed that lady so much that she became Muslim. Now she knows that this man is not a bad man. She had enough sense to understand that this is not a bad man if he's treating me like this. That when he doesn't see the trash, he comes to help me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that whenever you prepare something at home and you feel that neighbors have seen it and neighbors have smelled it, go and give them some of that. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ الْجِيرَانِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِجَارِهِ. The best person in the whole neighborhood is the man who treats his neighbors the best. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at a community or the neighborhood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the man who treats his neighbors the best. Once a sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after hearing all of these rights of neighbors, a sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes I don't have too much food at my home. I just have enough for myself, but I feel like giving it to some, sharing it with my neighbors. Ya Rasulullah, who should I give it? Who would be considered my neighbor who deserves to get this food at that time? I would like to give it to one of my neighbors. Who should be that person, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you don't have enough to give it to more than one person, and you want to give it just to one person, then give it to the person closest to you. Give it to the man, to the neighbor who is closest to you. So, these are some of the rights of neighbor in the light of Quran and Hadith. And as we heard them, and we heard the Ahadith are very strong about it, and neighbors have a lot of rights on us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to fulfill them. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimina wal muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.